From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 14th, 2009. Each week, this podcast tackles topics making news in all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, editor-in-chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we look at geodata formats. What's new, what's needed, what's working, and what's not. Among our topics, Google's newly announced Maps Data API, the Shapefile 2.0 manifesto, spatial light, and the state of KML in the wild. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
I want to start today with some news in geodata formats and APIs that popped up in early April at the Web 2.0 Expo. And it was there that Google tipped its hand about the upcoming Google Maps Data API. And I think to start off with, I want to let people know that Google already has a bunch of data APIs that are available for people to use. There's one for contact data. There's one for health data. There's one for spreadsheet data. There's 8 or 10 of them out there now, and this Maps Data API is going to be added to the list. These data APIs are all geared to do the same thing, and they're geared to provide a simple standard protocol for reading and writing data on the web. And I'm quoting Google there. And the APIs use either of two standard XML-based syndication formats. One's called ATOM, and the other's called RSS. People are likely familiar with these, even if they don't interact with them every day. And the idea is that these APIs have a feed publishing system so that the data is published out. Now, we don't know a whole lot about the Google Maps data API, but we do know that it's based on AtomPub. We know it will have a protocol for reading and writing data feeds. We know you can store geospatial data. And at the outset, it'll be point polyline and polygon geometries with more to come. You'll be able to create and edit Google's My Maps. That's a way to build your own custom maps and share them. The content that you create can optionally be indexed and searchable on Google Maps. You can have as many user-defined attributes as you want. You can do batch operations. You can incrementally upload and download changes. And there will be client libraries to build applications in a variety of different languages. So this is all very exciting. We won't know much about it for another couple of weeks. It's currently in a closed beta, and the folks who are involved in that have signed a non-disclosure agreement. But we're expected to actually see it and have it be available to everybody in late April or early May. And from what I can gather from looking at it, again, from the small amount of information that we have, is that it's going to be something like a more robust and potentially more useful format slash API than the existing sort of syndication for geospatial data, which is in a form called GeoRSS. So I'm just trying to fit this all together in the grand scheme of geospatial and what Google's doing. And I guess my first question is, why is Google adding this new API and syndication format?
Well, that's a great question, but I think it speaks to the evolution of both the technology that we've come to know and love, and then, of course, what is the pressure is being put on Google to more fully support geospatial information in the context of what the broader community, the broader professional community, wants. You have to believe that this has got to be somewhat, again, demand-driven. It's something that we've often noted because some people think that Google Maps is more or less a toy. It's got great visualization tools, and that's where it stops. This latest development is going to speak further to the professional community, and again, this evolution creates kind of more questions than maybe answers at this point, is what will Google Maps become? We kind of noted this a few weeks ago on a webinar that we had to ask and answer the question, will this satisfy my needs for AGIS? And I think that's always been the question that came about when Google Maps was introduced. So I don't know if it answers the question, but I think those are the questions that are being brought up at this point.
I think that's true. I think Google is going about sort of its vision for APIs sort of across all different kinds of domains in a very interesting way, and that's that, in a sense, they're trying to treat every kind of data as being somehow equal, and each data form has its own API, it has its own syndication form, and there's just a whole suite of them, and you just pick the one that's appropriate for what it is you're trying to do, and that's what you use to store and interact and update with your data of all different types.
It's kind of similar to the business model that Microsoft has put forth for a variety of years in creating a suite of products. You want to interact with Word, you want to interact with Excel or Microsoft Access. And here, with all of these data APIs, again, for spreadsheets, for documents, and now for maps, it seems like they're creating a similar type of model. So, that's a first blush. What do you think?
I think that's a good point. And I think one of the big differences between what Google's doing and what Microsoft's doing is everything that Google is doing is all about the web. These are all about sharing and using data on the web, not as Microsoft originally had it in these desktop products.
Well, and again, it was announced at the Web 2.0 Expo, which obviously makes a lot of sense. But I think taking it further down the line is then all of this data becomes searchable. The thing that I've always wanted to see, and of course, which is more or less possible now, is to create a semantic search across all of these different data formats. And if one of those formats happens to have a geographic tag on it, then the result that may be returned could be displayed on a map. And I think that's what's really exciting about it.
And I'm exactly with you. And I want to roll back in time a little bit to 2007. February 16th, 2007, I wrote an article which was one of the most exciting articles I remember writing in the last couple of years, and it was called Google KML Search, What Does It Mean for Geospatial Professionals? And in it, I got to speak with Michael Jones of Google about the newly then announced KML Search. And KML Search was and still is the capability to search within Google Maps and Google Earth for data in KML format, but also the ability to do that within a standard search with some extra parameters. And what Michael and I discussed in that article was this vision that this could be the way that geospatial professionals tag their data, no matter what format it's in, to be searchable on the web. And I thought this was going to do it, and it was going to solve all of our problems. And my sense about KML in the wild is that not being used in that way. I mean, certainly being used within Google Maps and Google Earth, and there's certainly tons of KML data out there that people are sharing. But in terms of the way it's being used for geospatial professionals to find data to put into their GISs, I'm not seeing it being used that way.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's there yet, and I think maybe we would have heard more or seen more examples of that, and you're right, it hasn't gotten to that stage. Now, again, we're kind of in the vortex of the tornado at this point to figure out the evolution of the whole adoption of KML or of these APIs. So maybe we're not seeing it yet. Maybe we will down the road. I think the objective is the same, which is you want to be able to search this stuff on the web. You want to be able to create that semantic query, make it easier to get at this, to get as much data as possible without jumping through the hoops of knowing, or of creating a SQL statement.
My suspicion, maybe, I'm guessing here, maybe this Google Maps data API is going to maybe be the thing that takes the next step that the KML search didn't. And maybe, just maybe, that API is going to become the tool for updating all different kinds of maps on the web, not just those that are built on the Google Maps API and the Google Earth API. I mean, it's entirely possible, from what I understand, that this could be the tool and the API that you use to update all different kinds of mapping applications with data in all different kinds of formats.
What do you think the reaction is going to be by the larger geospatial vendors to the API? Are they going to adopt it? Are they going to try to ingest it in terms of their platform?
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, just as an example, KML came on the scene, and that eventually ended up as an OGC standard, and now pretty much everybody supports it. This is a little bit different, because it's more of a feed and an API as opposed to an encoding, which is what KML and GML are both referred to as. So we'll have to see. The interesting thing about this announcement was that it was sort of made at a rather small event. The event didn't have an awful lot of geospatial discussions going on. And I think everyone's just sort of waiting to see what happens. And I'm really hoping, once it is available, to get some feedback from those who know all about formats and such things within our Directions Media sort of community about what they think this is going to be all about. Now, the next thing I want to talk about related to these geospatial data formats is a document that was posted back in March by a fellow named Alex Wilmer, and he's a database administrator in England. And he wrote a blog post called the Shapefile 2.0 Manifesto, which I have to say is a terrific name, and that in and of itself got it a lot of attention. But he really made some very good points, and what he basically is arguing is that the shapefile, as we know and love it, is in a sense past its time. We're ready for the next file format to take over. And he points out within the document that the shapefile does have some serious limitations, a lot of them related to the DBF file format that's used as part of the shapefile. It's got limitations on records, it's got some field name limitations, it's got some Unicode limitations. And those are all things that programmers and people who worry about big databases have to think about. Us regular end users of GIS have always had to face a couple of sort of practical challenges, the first of which is the fact that each shapefile is in fact made up of three files. So when you move them around, you can't lose them and you can't get them out of sync. Each of these shapefiles can only store one kind of data, point, line, or polygon. And you can't store curves. And there's really no effective way to store text. And those are the kind of things that we'd sort of bang our heads against every day. And yet, this file format is published, it's widely used, it's widely supported, and all those things are terrific. But it runs up against these other barriers. So what Alex does in his document is he suggests three other potential options to take over from the shapefile format. He speaks about the ESRI FileGeo database. Its biggest challenge is it's not a published format, and it doesn't currently have an API, although, according to Scott Morehouse, in a comment to the shapefile 2.0 manifesto, says that it is, in fact, coming in 9.4, so hopefully we'll see that. He also suggests Autodesk's SDF format, which is built on something called SQL Lite, and it's a single file database. The SDF format, I have to say, when my students work with it in the course that I teach, they fall in love with it because it's so simple to work with. You can store all different types of data, points, lines, polygons, all in the same database. It's one file. You can't lose it. It's got a lot going for it. One of its big challenges, though, is that, at least for right now, despite the fact that there is an API for it, it's really only used by Autodesk products. And what's becoming the most interesting contender to take over from the shapefile is something called Spatial Lite. And that, like Autodesk's SDF, is built on SQL Lite, but it sort of adds a spatial component to it. And that's public domain. It's sort of an API that creates a single standalone file that captures in it all of the geometry. This manifesto generated an awful lot of comments on our blog, and more importantly, at the original blog post, sort of examining what the possibilities were and what the future was going to look like. And I guess I'll ask you, do you think it's time for the shapefile to go, or do you hear about people banging into these problems?
No, to answer your question, no. But I think this is a train that's about to leave the station. And what I mean by that is that we have for a long time accepted shapefiles as kind of a de facto standard. But with the limitations and with the onslaught of so much geospatial data out there, the limitations will impact how people use the technology. So it's not just about shapefiles. It's not just about ESRI. It's about ingesting the volume of geospatial content for all projects down the road. If we begin to use all of this data and technology, then there will be a format that people will find. The market will judge what's the best to use and then therefore go use it. So whether the train is leaving the station today or next year, hopefully there's not going to be a train wreck in the individual companies and organizations that use geospatial data when all of a sudden they run up against these file limitations. But shapefile isn't going to go away, but the fact is there are issues, there are problems, and I think the market is going to decide whether something like Spatial Lite or whether they're going to go directly to a database standard, whether that's a geo database standard for Oracle Spatial or some of the open source solutions, it's going to have to be addressed.
What happened with this document was that somebody sort of put their foot in the sand and said, okay, let's start talking about this. Let's stop bringing the issues up. Let's start getting the vendors involved because we, the developer community, are finding ourselves banging our heads.
I think we need to hear from the developer community about this. They're the guys working the issues and working the problems. It's going to be the users who will eventually find the limitations, but there's going to have to be the guys who are more knowledgeable about the formats. In particular, I think the database administrators. I've always thought that the database administrators were the guys that deal with the issue on a much more daily basis and have to wrestle with the larger organizational problems that come from supporting different file formats, geospatial being one of those formats that is very unique but creates an issue because of the volume that you could quickly rack up if you're supporting geospatially enabled applications in an enterprise setting.
Yeah, maybe this is something that should be brought up at some of the upcoming conferences and sort of especially those geared for developers and try to get the issues out and get the suggestions out there. And I think one of the things that we've certainly learned from the success of the shapefile is that if you can have an openly published format that's got a big vendor behind it, that's going to make a huge difference. And I think looking back in history, before that, there was DXF, which was Autodesk's, which was published, and that became the de facto tool for moving data around. Now, we're not looking, in this particular case, as I understand it from Alex's document, he's not looking for an interchange format, but rather a format that you will actually store your data in and use directly, you know, when you're doing GIS, whether it's from the web or on the desktop. And those are really quite different. And that's why I think your point about moving toward the database, whether it's a standalone database file, like an SQLite kind of file, or it's something that lives more connectedly in a particular database, is where we're going to end up. That's all the time we have today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that ESRI's 2009 Southeast Regional User Group Conference is coming up April 27th to the 29th in Jacksonville, Florida. Connect with your peers and ESRI staff as you grow your knowledge and gather fresh insight to apply your GIS projects during this one-of-a-kind forum. Visit www.esri.com/serug to register to attend. If you've got comments on today's topic of geospatial data formats or anything else, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.